from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome back to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson.
And I am reporting from Panama. Today on the show, we have Mel Nickel. He is a PM for the Tropics Testing Support Services in Panama and Suriname. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your role here at TRTC.
Sure. I'm the program manager supporting the TRTC. Been here for 3 years. My role is I'm responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen, as the Army had trained me. We do everything from programming, scheduling. I supervise every single one of the functions. It includes our engineering support, our logistics support, our importation, exportation of materials. I run my budget and do the administrative tasks of leading our employees, you know, as we go through either a work-related assignment or a day-to-day assignments.
Some people that listen to the podcast are likely familiar with the testing in Yuma. How does the testing in the tropics differ from that?
So, well, what I tell people is Panama is a great environment for testing. It's Jurassic in nature. So if you want to come to see Jurassic Park, come down to Panama. What I've noticed is things that get tested in other testing centers, when they come here, the deterioration, the degradation accelerates because we have a lot of environmental factors. They occur simultaneously. I can give you an example. We've had vehicles and maybe break down at 150 or 100 kilometers. In one testing center in here, it happens at 30 kilometers. So almost a two-thirds acceleration. We see, and a lot of that has to do with soil composition, it has to do with the humidity, has to do with the very high salt content that we find in Panama. They use the word salite, but it's really like salt spray. It's in the environment. Actually, when you go around and see the infrastructure, you'll know quickly who keeps their infrastructure well-maintained and who allows the environment to really cause an impact. So I just think that we can do things here in a small space and still have big impacts. We don't need large spaces for folks to see their equipment impacts on their equipment, or even the human, the humans that actually have to use the equipment, they'll have big impacts. So if we didn't get our weights right, if we're not using the right material, this environment will identify that pretty quickly for you.
And between the two different locations, how many vehicle test sites do you have? So it's vehicle, but it's also that you're
kept. We've done vehicles. We've done small arms testing recently. You know, in the past, there's been sensors that have been done. There's been communications that have been done. So we can do the full gamut, and we're open for business to do that.
Or how many different test trucks do you have?
So we have two major test routes, one in Panama, one in Suriname. We've done Stryker tests in Suriname. Right now we're doing AMPV testing here in Panama. In fact, this test returns to Panama because the original test about a year and a half ago quickly identified impacts that did not identify themselves at the other test centers. The components broke down faster. The combination of mud and rock broke components. Taking the information they saw from the last test, they came back and said, hey, we've made these improvements. And now they found that other things are breaking fast. So it's really a system of systems that has to be looked at to be adapted to the tropical environment.
And why TRTC? Is it because it's similar to a location that we might have a conflict with?
Very much so. So historically, TRTC has been around for over 100 years. And so in World War II, the testing was already happening here to get materials ready for the invasion of the Japanese homelands. In Vietnam was another heyday period. A lot of equipment came here to test so that then it could go into Vietnam and be used by forces. I think one of the key, I would say, key things to keep in mind is that we're in century site. So if you move things too forward to the battle line, it actually becomes it could become exposed to enemy sensors and fire. So we're here replicating what we'll see in a lot of the environments in the areas that we're looking at. Also, something to kind of think about now is our national security strategy actually calls out the need for influence and access into Panama 5 times. So with this new administration, there has been a huge push. And where we're sitting right now, this is the, they call it the canal zone area because the canal is really close. And we're in the canal zone area. So we are postured and our test sites are postured right where the national security strategy wants us to be. And we've been here for almost 26 years.
Tell us about your background. You are a retired tech colonel. You come with a wealth of experience. So we're actually so fortunate to have you here at TRCC.
Well, thank you. So I was born in Panama in the early 70s. Stayed here until I was 6 years old. Then we moved to Texas, where I actually did not speak English. You know, there was no English as a second language back then. So they just put me in schooling, and then we stayed there a couple of years. I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan. As my first teacher was a Dallas Cowboy wife. We stayed there, and then we jumped over to Fort Lauderdale, just north of Miami. Did most of my schooling, all of my schooling through high school. Got a ROTC scholarship, and then went to school, got commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Military Intelligence Corps. And then I tell people that I came in just at the right time to get on the rock and roll tour for the Army. I got to do Bosnia, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, and I finished in 2015, going into 2016 for a year with the counter-ISIS mission in the Middle East. So spent roughly, plus we did some special stuff in Africa. And so I would say it was about 5 or 6 years deployed. In combat operations. And then in 2017, because of family reasons, I decided to retire. And the family came down here. And then I went to work for the U.S. Embassy for a while. And the way Panama is a small country. So people, it's not 6 degrees of separation. I tell people it's 3 degrees of separation. And in one of those 3 degrees of separation interactions I had 7 years ago, somebody remembered that I might be in the country and they asked if I was still available or if I was still in country. And when somebody told them that I was, then there was a reach out for me to come work here.
Being former military, you know how important it is to have work and equipment. Does that Absolutely. Make this job even more personal to you?
Absolutely. The one thing I tell our engineers is we can, you know, could write anything we want, but to always keep the focus of what we do here. Some soldier is going to pay the price at the tip of the spear. So it's all a chain. It's all a value chain to get that soldier, a sailor, a marine at the tip of the spear, the right equipment at the right time, so that then they can do their mission, which is really to defend the nation. And so I always tell them that no matter whether we're looking at a piece of equipment technically, we should always look at it from a human perspective. You know, will it work? Is it too heavy? Is it of the right material? Does it require too much maintenance? Because those are the things that matter at the tip of the spear so that you can bring effects on the Army.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for what you do at TRTC for the Army.
No, hey, thank you so much for having me. And it's been a great pleasure.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Last August, the Secretary of War put a call out for department civilians to support immigration efforts by serving a detail with the Department of Homeland Security. YPG employee Sean Franklin was one of 13 Department of War civilians nationwide supporting this initiative for 60 days. What inspired you to answer the call when you saw it come out?
Well, as a lifelong border town resident, born and raised in Yuma, Arizona, and a lot of Yuma community, been working at YPG, dad's career at YPG, whole family, I really thought it would be interesting and a nice way to help support the immigration issues our country's facing currently. under the executive order for national directives in support of that. I thought the convenience and location directly right here would be very helpful to them as well, and maybe be selected to help support here in Yuma, El Centro. And I was just glad that I was able to do something a little bit outside my wheelhouse, outside my comfort zone, outside of the norm of what we're used to here.
Did you assume it was your IT skills that they were going to be looking for?
I thought so, since they wanted things specifically along data management, data entry, validation, things like that. I thought maybe it could be field support operations and networking, things like that.
But ultimately, they sent you to Washington, D.C., to headquarters.
Yes, sir. So Ronald Reagan International Trade Center building right there in D.C. for the CBP headquarters location, where we would get daily reports generated for U.S. Border Patrol leadership and CBP leadership, and then weekly to DHS and White House as well.
Well, I mean, you were one of 13 nationwide?
So in terms of the CBP initiative, the wave of DOD volunteer force personnel, the civilians, only 13 were selected for CBP support throughout the country. Of those 13, only 7 of us were sent to the actual headquarters of CBP at Washington, D.C. So that's where I was sent, along with 6 other colleagues. Air Force, Navy, Army, anyone from all over. DOD was there, most of us Army.
What was the pace like while you were there?
It was more fast-paced than anything I'd worked before. It was much, it's a very broad 24/7, 365 coverage, night diff, working holidays. You could have 8 to 10 hour days. It was all over the map. Sometimes you'd work 6 to 8 days consecutively and then have 2 or 3 days off. I mean, it was whatever the mission support needed and you were directed, that's what we supported. It was very, very chaotic, very dynamic, very fluid, but it was very rewarding seeing the impact we were able to provide.
As you were crunching numbers and generating these reports, the numbers would fluctuate very quickly.
You would actually be generating reports in real time, seeing numbers change, so that by the time you got the report done, the numbers were not accurate, but we're going as fast as we can to get these numbers out and brief to leadership as fast as possible.
Did you have any downtime at all while you were there? I mean, did you get to do anything on your own time?
While out, I was able to see a lot of the monuments, museums, see the Washington Monument, Jefferson, Lincoln. I was able to get a tour of the Capitol. I thought that was really cool. The White House was all booked up. I did have a reservation to see the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building. However, that was after my demobilization date when I was returning home back to Yuma. But definitely did get to spend some time with people outside of the workplace and enjoy the city of D.C. and that district. And it's just a very diverse area and a lot of history. And I thought it was really cool to be there. I was actually there for the State of the Union address. It was just right down the street from me. So very cool.
What advice would you give to folks if they were considering doing this like you did?
I would say don't look at it so much as like a developmental detail assignment where you're going to go and obtain a whole bunch of new skill sets and trainings and things you can bring back to the workplace to bolster your career path, and look at it more as an opportunity to serve in a different aspect or a different way that you might not have done before, had the opportunity to, located here at a T&E type testing. There's nothing really mission test directed. It's more like support and administrative and ministerial data entry. It could be logistics, facilities, movement, DPW type works. It's all over the map, whatever the mission needs. So anything you think you could do to help, it doesn't hurt to apply. And then FEMA will reach out to you.
Would you do it again personally?
I could definitely see doing it again if solicited for another deployment request here in the future. I could definitely see providing another 60 to 120 days of support under the current FY. I would definitely consider that. Anywhere locally would be a lot better, I would think, closer to home on the southern border. But if it's DC again at headquarters or some other location or facility throughout the country, I could consider that as well. I would definitely.
Hey, Sean, it's really good talking to you today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Mr. Shower.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.